Good morning, everybody. Chapter 14, where does judgment begin? I'm going to say it one time and one time only, and I ask you, mute your phones. This is a recording. This is not an open forum. Mute your phones. Chapter 14, where does judgment begin? 2022. Oh, kids, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. You're a company owner. You're supposed to assess situations and deal. Every day you're challenged by problems. It is you who are the solution, or it is you who is the problem, right? Whatever the case is, it is you who needs to do the correct thing.
Really? Come on.
Yes, it is. Good people are hard to find. Good people are hard to find. Lazy people are impossible to avoid, it would seem, huh? Good situations need to be tended to, so that they stay good, and situations gone bad need to be cautiously and carefully dealt with as well. Your company is at stake, the well-being of your family, cash flow, and you know the rest of the list, you know it. There's a lot going on for you guys on the phone. A lot of company owners here, hundreds of jobs, millions of dollars. Millions of dollars are on this telephone. How to be a Christian in such an environment? The Bible says you're not to judge. Where does judgment begin? Oh, my goodness. Where does it begin? Does it begin in your heart? Oh, my gosh. Passing judgment on people is a very dangerous headspace. Well, not assessing a situation correctly is a dangerous headspace, too. What's the difference between judgment and assessment? Good question. The answer is simple. I write it in my notes that it's simple. You know as well as I do it's not. It's just my idea of a fun phrase, right? Simple. You make the assessment to lead, teach, and inspire. God is the judge at the end of time. And when we stand before him, we want to have been a good servant, having done the right thing. But we got to get to it. Chapter 14, where does judgment begin? Let's go to assessment first. Assessment is easier. Taking right, wrong, good, and bad out of a situation. Either it works or it doesn't. John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. John 15:2 is love. The Lord is prepping the vine, i.e., you and me, right? You and me for good works. If he didn't do that, like any garden not tended to, we'd become shoddy and overgrown, unhealthy, and sick. Oh, yeah, but don't worry, the gardener is here. That's a quick version of assessment. Judgment, on the other hand, has no love in it. It's done. God should be left to such matters. Why? Because I'm not qualified. Example, if an employee has too many tasks to do, he will probably fail at all of them. Right? If those tasks, however, are re-engineered by you, perhaps divided up among two or three employees, all will rise and do well. The company will benefit, and the assessment was correct. John 15:12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. The definition of an assessment, the evaluation or estimation of the nature, quality, or ability of someone or something. Now, that's a good definition for all dynamics in the workplace and life, for that matter. Let's look at judgment, however. Judgment's hard stuff, man. It has no love in it. Judgment's done. There are many examples in the Bible where a king judges a person, and it's not good. A king is a person. A king is just like you. He's a man, a myth, a legend. Well, he's a person. And in history, men have judged men. There's so many examples, but this morning let's pick one in Esther. A character named Haman had been found to be in severe contempt. And it was rightly so. He was a contemptful individual, right? And he was judged by King Ahasuerus in Esther 7, 9, 10. Now, this is harsh, man. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, a pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who speaks up to help the king. And the king said, impale him on it. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Look, this is not my opinion. I'm just telling you what it says. This is history. This isn't somebody's idea of a good time. This happened. Judgment is harsh. It's an end. It's an end. Now, Haman was a bad dude, and Mordecai was a great dude, and Haman wanted to destroy Mordecai, but in the end, his nastiness got himself killed. But that king passed a judgment. That's harsh, right? Judgment is harsh. It is not an assessment or something that needs an adjustment. It's a severe consequence. Here in Esther, a man, albeit a king, passed judgment on a very bad man, and that man was destroyed. Quite severe. Severe. Now, before I talk about it in your life, let's look at severe judgment by God. Revelation 20, 11, 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are very harsh things. Now, I want you to keep in mind that as a Christian, I don't want that to happen to you or me. So when I get upset with someone, I don't want that to happen. I'm trying to pull you back from such things because I believe what's in that book. All right, let's get back to it. Very harsh things, assessment and judgment. Assessment has clear solutions. Love, hope, assistance, guidance, and caring. Judgment has none of that. There is no solution by judgment time. How do you apply that in the workplace? Simply put, we don't. Judgment has no place in our lives. Harsh, severe punishment has nothing to do with anything God has given to you or me. We are not heads of countries. We have jobs. We are given great blessings by God. We argue enough with him on that. That's never enough, right? We fight that in ourselves every day. Let's get back to judgment. In God, we ask that our temperament be correct and our assessments be guided by the Holy Spirit and God prevail in all things. We have no situations where we are king of a people or where we have God's job in judging who goes to hell or not. That's not us. So what do we do when people are clearly out of line? What happens when a person will not learn? He will not adjust, or she will not adhere to the rules of respect and value others accordingly. What do you do when it affects the entire unit of a company or a family? Now that's when it gets tough, isn't it? Let me ask you something. If someone was about to walk off of a cliff and you couldn't get to them in time, all you could do is yell for them to stop, would you do it? Or would you let them walk off the cliff? Obviously, you would yell at the top of your lungs to interrupt a person from walking off of a cliff. James 5:20, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You see, when you try to help somebody, God knows your heart. And this scripture tells you right here, when you try, even if it doesn't work, when you try, it's better. You got to try. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Helping a situation is the key and the biggest challenge. Without it, production, life, quality of life, hope, and destiny are interrupted. The Bible talks about stiff-necked people, stubborn people. We are stubborn. But he still blesses us, as it's reflected in the next verse that I give you. However, with God's love, I don't know if I want to push the envelope and be stubborn. He gives me so much, and then what, I decide to throw darts at it? I don't want to do that. We have been so blessed here in America right now, and people throw darts at the scripture. They throw darts at what's going on. They throw, do we really want to do that? Deuteronomy 9:6. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. You get it? We didn't earn this great life we have. We're very stubborn people. We don't deserve any of this. God, by his grace and his mercy, has given it to us. You, me, we got to fight that stubborn, stiff-necked mindset. We get in our own way. Perhaps an employee stuck in their ways, refusing to change. So I ask you, in an effort to help, can we push too far? Could we cause a person to stumble, to run from the Lord? First, I investigate a scripture, then I'll answer that. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or a sister. Long story short, I have to try. When someone is out of line, I have to try. God knows my heart, and he knows the challenge, and he knows how stubborn people can be. He knows how stupid we all can be, but I got to try. I got to try to stop people from hurting themselves and others in the job that I've been given. I've hurt myself. I've hurt others. I have to share my testimony, and I have to yell at those that are about to jump off of the cliff because they think they can fly. I know it sounds like a crazy thing, but people stand on the edge of the cliff, and they think they can fly. They think they're so smart. They think they've got this down. They're so incredibly stubborn. But I got to try, lovingly or not so lovingly, but I got to try. And again, I got to try again and again and again and again. Ultimately, either people get in line or they don't. And if they don't, it's in God's hands. However, bad behavior must be assessed, and as Scripture has noted, in pruning, we must take care of the garden. To remind you of pruning again, it's a garden. We are in the garden. In the vine, and he takes those things off the plant. You know, you've seen your mom do it or your grandma do it, right? Fix up that plant, take off the bad leaves and leave the good leaves, let the vine thrive. If you don't do that in a garden, not so good. Everything overgrows, right? You got to take care of the garden, the gifts of people who are trying to work and be correct, those gifts of people in your lives that you're responsible for who are trying to work and in a good place and be correct. Those that choose not to do that, I've done all I can do. And with God, I got to let them go. It's a tough assessment. I can't let them get in the way of all the people that are trying to do the right thing. Am I available at all times to discuss it? Well, that requires discernment, doesn't it? We pray for discernment. Wasting time on silly arguments is just that, wasting time. Forgiveness, yeah, of course. Of course we forgive. But will I put a child in the car of a known speeder? Of course not. Will I put my hand in the cage of a lion? No, of course not. In my family and my business, tough choices, tough assessments. What works, what doesn't, trying to realign people, being judged harshly by others in the face of trying to do well. Get that? I put that word judged in there for it. I am judged harshly by others in the face of trying to do the right thing. But that's part of ministry, kids. It's part of management, and it is the lesson. Judgment begins where assessment ends. Do you understand me, children? Children of God, chapter 14, where does judgment begin? When assessment ends. And that's not my job, Daddy-O. Titus 1:7-9, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now that is an assessment, isn't it? As fiduciaries, each of us have to be, we are given a place of authority in our businesses and our families. We need to be an example of Christ and his word. Judgment is the end of good conversation. I simply run out of things to say Judgment stops giving solutions. It's the end of working out a situation, right? It's also the end of compassion. Sometimes, however, we have to make an assessment that requires a very challenging decision to be made. As fiduciaries, we are in charge and must keep all people in our companies and families safe from those that would surely hurt others. Romans 16, 17, and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Proverbs 23:9, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Hey, hard to do. Hard to do. Think of the cliff. I can fly. Think of the cliff. Proverbs 27:3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but the resentment caused by a fool is heavier than both. You know, I put in here that there's six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. That's Proverbs 6. I don't know why I put it in here, but I think I'm going to read it. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and no one who sows discord among brothers. Look, man, when somebody like that is in your midst, they got to go. But that's hard. That's assessment. What is judgment? I've talked to you about judgment. I had two kings judge. Well, which king? The real king of all kings, God, when he makes a judgment at the end of time, the white throne judgment. And a king that made a judgment of someone, it is the end. There is no more solutions. It is the end of someone's life, their existence, their everything. A murderer makes a judgment. You don't want to be that. You either find a way, rather in assessment, you either find a way to work with someone or you realize it's time to give them back to God. God is the judge. Where judgment begins is when assessment is over. Pruning is over. Solutions are over. But what about people in the job? We've talked about it. Are they doing the job they want to do or the job that needs to be done? Are you doing the job that you want to do instead of what needs to be done? In short, like scripture above, we make the assessment whenever it needs to be done. That's what we do in the grace of God, his mercy and his word. King Solomon, son of David, the last king of Israel. Well, he wasn't the last king of Israel. No. He was one of the first. And he was right there at the top. There was David. You know, before that, there was Saul. But Solomon, he had it all. And he still went sideways, but he gave us some great scripture. Ecclesiastes 7:25. I searched everywhere, determined to find wisdom and to understand the reason for things. I was determined to prove to myself that wickedness is stupid and that foolishness is madness. Well, that's a great one, isn't it? Common sense is not so common, kids, and stupid is really expensive. Stay the course. God has put in place for you. Stay close to his word. I invented a way to remember how to see the difference in trust and mistrust. Well, I made boundaries and restrictions, but I don't even think that applies here anymore. Boundaries and restrictions. Boundaries are two people and restrictions are one. Boundaries are agreed that you don't drive my truck and I don't drive yours. We agree on that. Restrictions are when I got to take the keys away because you won't listen to me. But I don't feel like doing that this morning. Rather, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Look, man, it's time to graduate from the concept of taking from God and change into giving back to God for all that you've been given. Solid spiritual food is learning the word in a more profound manner, deeper, allowing oneself to be concerned, interested, hungry for the ways of the Lord. Why do you think they don't let people talk in church? Everybody would argue. The idea is to come and learn. But when people stand on the edge of the cliff, I got to do everything I can, everything in my power to tell them to stop doing that. Stop it before you can't stop it. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Get it? From the path and a cliff. Where does judgment begin? Again, it begins with God and it ends with God. Period. Learn to be on duty at your post. Where does judgment begin? It begins with God. It ends with God. Where does it begin with you? At the end of assessment. You never get to the end of assessment. Assessment is all we have. Everything else, judgment belongs to God. Learn to be on duty at your post. God forgives you for stupid things. Sometimes we need to do the same while maintaining order in the areas where we are responsible. I say to you kids, it is incumbent on you to rage against stupid in people. It hurts everyone. But when people are in complete disregard of everything else, it's so challenging. Ezekiel 3:18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Gosh, I got to get that in your head. Why do you think I get so insane when people are nuts? Because it's on me. I see it when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die if, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. This is fiduciary. But it goes on in verse 19. If you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Kids, we got to try. We got to try. We're in charge. Assessing situations for a good end. Leave judgment to the Lord. It's so easy for people to say, oh, you just think you're all that and you can judge anybody. Oh, it's easy, isn't it? But that's the gig. You're in charge. That's the gig. That's administration. That is God as a verb. Although we forgive, that does not mean that we support people causing disturbances and division. It's a tough challenge, isn't it? And it's a very real responsibility. Romans 14:1, receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Sure, you receive people. Sure. But you're not there to dispute all these silly things. You're not here. Chapter 14, where does judgment begin? 2022. It begins at the end of assessment. It begins and it ends with God. Our job is assessment. We have been given responsibility in ministry, fiduciary duty in our lives, our families, our businesses, and many people depend on us. But God gave you that responsibility, and God will see you through it. And when people go sideways, you do all you can to straighten it out. But if they can't, you must let it go. It's hard, kids. It's hard. And will they throw darts at you? Of course. Is that hard? Of course. Is it heartbreaking? Of course. Does God see your heart? Of course. My God loves me and he loves you and he is here teaching you how to be of service to the King and to work in the fields of the Lord. Amen, amen. John, let's get on with it.